Hi, I'm Jack.
And I'm Talia, and welcome to another episode of Dose of Pharma. Today we are speaking with a very special guest, Sophia Mortha, who is a postdoc research fellow at the University of North Carolina, all the way in the United States.
Today we're going to be discussing the Australian versus the American pharmacy education systems, as well as delving into Sophia's role in pharmacy education and research.
So, without further ado, let's begin. So, firstly, thank you so much for joining us today, Sophia. Really appreciate having you here. To begin with, would you be able to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Of course, I do want to start off and say thank you all so much for having me. It's been a great pleasure, first of all, with meeting you and working with Talia. And just to tell you a little bit about myself, I was born in Hyderabad, India, and I immigrated to the US when I was 7 years old. So I lived in Chicago for most of my life, and I went to Loyola University Chicago, got my bachelor's in biology on the pre-pharmacy track. And then I moved to North Carolina for my doctorate in pharmacy. So I went to the UNC Eshelman School of Pharmacy. I graduated last May with my doctorate, and then I took on this role as the postdoctoral research fellow at the Center for Innovative Pharmacy Education and Research, and so also known as CIFER. And so that is what I do now. And that's a little bit about me.
Thanks. And so, having recently graduated, off top of your head, what were some of the highlights from your pharmacy school experience?
So I've always been really interested in global experiences ever since I was a little girl. When I was in high school, I went to Malawi, Africa to help build schools. And so that was something that I was looking for when I was looking at pharmacy programs. At UNC, they had a global scholars program, and they had a really big student domain that had connections with different schools around the world. And so I think the global aspect of my time here at UNC and during my pharmacy education was the highlight. I was the president of the Global Engagement Organization, and we helped to connect students between UCL College London, as well as Monash University. And so that was a big part of our global efforts, as well as bringing awareness to like global health outcomes and things like that.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had quite an impressive journey within pharmacy school and are a great representative to show the importance of global connections. So thank you for that, Sophia. Just for some context for our viewers and listeners. So in Australia, the pharmacy education program, it's usually an undergraduate degree, and is 4 years of university plus 1 year of internship prior to registration. In America, I do believe it's a little bit different. So could you explain how exactly this differs to Australia?
Yeah, so I would say just in general, we have a lot more training in the United States before we are able to practice as pharmacists. So my journey was 4 years of undergraduate after high school, and that was my bachelor's in biology. And then I did 4 years of a doctor of pharmacy degree. And then usually what people do is go into two more, like max years of training before they practice fully as pharmacists, just to specialize a little bit more. If you want to go toward the hospital route, you take the residency route. So there's a residency match system, much like what you would need to do in medical school. I'm not sure how it is in Australia, but you match to a hospital and you practice general residency for 1 year. And then the second year, you specialize if you want to. At any point after graduating with your PharmD, you can get registered and licensed as a pharmacist. So you would take an exam for your pharmacy licensure, as well as an exam based on which state you're in. And then with that, you can go into the hospital route. There's also a large amount of people that are interested in going into the biopharmaceutical industry. And so a lot of people do that by going into a 1 or 2 year fellowship where they can get mentored. It's still a job, but you can get mentored a lot more. And you can go, and the whole point of these like residencies and fellowships are so that you can be successful in attaining a job. So for me, I am in an academia fellowship. And so this is not the most like traditional route, but I get a lot of experience in education and research and have more exposure within the academia society of pharmacy and education.
Yeah, thanks for that, Sophia. There, it's quite evident that there are definitely a lot of differences between how things work back in Australia and in the United States. Just a question, is it very common for students to do some sort of postgraduate training? So residencies or fellowships, do a lot of students tend to do that?
Yeah, usually that is what we called like the traditional route. They tend to build their network a little bit more and they're able to apply into a position where they're not asked to kind of have all of the responsibilities of a pharmacist. You still practice as a doctor in the hospital during your pharmacy residency, but you have a lot more mentorship and you have a little bit more training and guardrails for you to do the best that you can during that time, just because you've just been in school for the last like however many years.
Reflecting now on what you just said about your journey in pharmacy, it doesn't sound too dissimilar from my own, in fact, because I've just completed 4 years of undergraduate study doing a science degree in chemistry and another biomedical degree. And so now I'm just commencing the third year of the pharmacy degree at Monash. So yeah, it sounds like we can have some sort of a similar parallels in the pathways into pharmacy in Australia too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely for sure. So speaking of these similar pathways and your position as a fellow, could you tell us exactly what your role involves and why did you choose to undertake a postdoctoral fellowship?
So I do a lot with like on a day-to-day basis. None of my days look the same, but my role essentially is 70% research. So I do a lot of research within pharmacy education and health professions education and research. I can tell you a little bit about some of the research that I'm doing now.
Yeah, sure.
I have just submitted a paper talking about the implications of the Asian demographic within pharmacy education. And so how our historical and legal laws contribute to how we do research on Asians and how that affects and impacts one's experience within the pharmacy education system and pharmacy academia. I've also been a content writer. And so I made modules for PharmD students on social determinants of health. And so that is everything apart from what healthcare professionals can do for patients that affects health outcomes. So I think only like 20% of one's health outcomes are based off of what is done within the hospital. And so we talk a lot about other social and like implications of one's health outcomes and how their health transpires.
Okay. So now I think we want to go lead into your role within research itself. I had a few questions about CIFA, as you mentioned before. What exactly is CIFA and who might we see working at CIFA? Who's involved?
Yeah, so CIFA is something very unique, I would say, to UNC. I think a lot of schools want a place where they can go to for help within research, help within education. We build training modules for a lot of our faculty, but we also try to gear that towards people that are already in practice. So it's like everything education, educating faculty on how they can best provide education to their students, educating pharmacists on how they can best provide education to their residents. And so CIFR is the place that you can go to for everything education and everything research. And so we like to help whatever educational efforts are happening within the school. And so faculty will come to us and try to consult with us about what they're trying to do in their class, how they're trying to revamp their curricula, or if they're doing research on their own, like how they can go about doing that. People that you can see working at CIFR, one is me, another is Talia. So we have a lot of like interns that help us with data collection, data analysis, data synthesis, and summarization. And my mentor, Jackie McLaughlin, she is a PhD and she is very interested in how to teach and how to better prepare our care professional students to give the best education to them. And we also just have interns and students that are pharmacy students now that can help with all that data as well.
That's pretty good. Yeah. So I know, having studied at Monash University for the last 4 years, it's a lot of self-directed learning, but yeah, it's really vital to have those faculties that help improve education for tertiary students. And like you said, it's vital in healthcare workers, pharmacists, doctors, nurses, etc. Yeah, it's great work you're doing there at Cypher by the sounds of it.
Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, I wanted to ask as well, what's kind of your favorite thing about Cypher? And you can't just say the Christmas party.
Do like the Christmas parties, but I also like that everyone is always looking for something new, or looking for an innovative way to teach, innovative ways to kind of better the environment that we're in, and kind of create like the perfect way to teach our future health professionals. I think I also feel very supported as a fellow. My role isn't permanent, but I also feel like I have all the network that I need to succeed in the future.
Couldn't ask for much more, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, on top of that, what the key skills you think you've learned or developed whilst working with Cypher, or rather as a research fellow?
I think before coming, I chose to pursue this role because I felt like I didn't have enough exposure to research. And so I've learned so much about research, research design, and also just education in general, learning how we look towards other health professions education to see how we can change our curricula. And we're looking at other innovative ways to creatively problem solve. And so those are some of the things that I really appreciate just seeing and being exposed to, so that I can, you know, try and implement that wherever I go.
Yeah, that's great, Sophia. So it sounds like Cypher is doing a lot of very innovative things at the moment, yourself included. But what's the most exciting thing that's either coming up or that you've done in the past within Cypher?
So my mentor did a lot of research on this new way of creative problem solving called design thinking. It's actually not that new, but within pharmacy education, I would say it's pretty like up and coming. So we are used to like the scientific method and solving things that way. But design thinking allows you to really immerse yourself into what the user would want. And so our user would be our patients, or if I'm doing research on our students, my user would be the students. And so you try to empathize with them and try to come up with ideas, and you sort of create this panel of people, whether that's people that are like really immersed in the subject or people that are just have no idea, and you start ideating and problem solving. So you have divergent thinking, where you come up with all the crazy ideas in the world, and then you have convergent thinking, where you take those ideas and you think of what is realistic and you come up with different solutions that you could come up with to solve a problem. And then you build a prototype, you go and you kind of test it out with the user, you come back, if it doesn't work, you build another prototype and you test it out with the user. I think this way of trying to understand who you're trying to serve and who you're trying to make things better for is a great way to address problems within healthcare, not only healthcare, but also within the education system. So that's something new that I've been working on, and it's been really exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I'm hearing for the first time coming from you. I feel like it's not something that is explored a lot, and it's very up and coming. So do you know if any other schools or pharmacy schools specifically have implemented design thinking into the curriculum?
I actually don't know if other people are working on this. I think that would be a good research paper to work on.
Yeah, definitely.
But I do know that something that like businesses use and like institutions use to build like prototypes and build ways to make sure that they are serving the user and serving the people, their customers, and things like that.
Wow. Well, I personally hope that we see a lot more of design thinking within the curriculum and in the future. So I'm very excited to see what Cypher comes out with from this project. So you've talked about a lot of highlights from the fellowship, and just your journey in general, but what's been the most challenging part so far?
I think coming into this role from being a student at this school and then having to work basically with my teachers has given me this sort of like imposter syndrome where I'm like I'm sort of like shy to say confidently like what I think should happen, or like I'm not as much of an employee as I would have been if I had just come into the school as an employee. But I also think I can leverage my experiences as a student a lot more than they would have received from someone that was coming from outside of the school, because I have a very fresh take on what happens and like how the student experiences things when a teacher changes curricula or a teacher changes the way they teach and how that affects a student. And I think that probably has been the most challenging part of this role, but I also, I'm embracing the challenge, and I think it has a lot of benefits to it as well.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And I think what you touched on, that imposter syndrome, it's something that I feel like a lot of our students or early graduates face once we enter, I guess, the workforce or even on our placements and, as the Americans call it, their rotations. So it's definitely a very understandable challenge, but it sounds like you've got an amazing mindset to overcome it, and we're excited to see what else you go on to achieve.
Thank you.
So yeah, it sounds like you had a few challenges there in your experiences coming into Cypher. But what do you reckon, what's some of the biggest impacts, or what kind of impact has Cypher had on pharmacy education, whether it be in America or even abroad?
I think what we want to do is make sure that we know the best ways to educate our health professionals. So whether it is pharmacy students or medical students or nursing students, we know that there's a different way to teach them. And so I think the impact of Cypher is that we are trying to get to that truth. Like, what is the best way to prepare the health professionals to go into the world and effectively treat their patients?
Yeah, great, Sophia. And just to elaborate on that, I guess zoom out a little bit, can you describe the importance of pharmacists working within research, specifically education, and elaborate on the overarching impact they might have?
So I think it's very important for pharmacists to work within research and education. We as students always look towards our pharmacists that are out in clinical settings and out with the patients and doing the work. We look for their expertise and their knowledge to educate the students that are going to be in their place later. And so their research and their experiences and their education and the way that they learned is very important into making sure that we have a future generation of health professionals, as well as pharmacists, that can be successful in becoming good pharmacists and in treating their patients effectively.
I think, yeah, that I completely agree with that, because I know, having done 4 years of chemistry, biology, et cetera, all of my lecturers have been just pure academics. You know, they've come through the degrees, they've gone through, done their honors, PhD, whatsoever. But I find there's a different level of education I can get from, even though I've just started pharmacy, all of my lecturers are all practicing pharmacists in hospital community. They've got experience actually applying what they're teaching. So I think there's a bit of a stark contrast there between more academic educators against those of actual practice. Like you said, pharmacists, yeah, it's important that they be educators as well. And I fully agree with that. But moving on, for our final question, do you have any advice for pharmacy students looking to pursue a career in research or pharmacy education? Even for myself, being a new pharmacy student, like what would you tell me if I came up and asked you that question?
I would say to be curious and to try to move towards the best possible way to do something. And so don't always think this is the best way to do something. Always be curious, always try to learn more, always try to do something differently. I think that's a great way to continually better your way of educating, way of doing research, way of talking to a patient. I think just being curious and trying to try new ways of teaching and learning.
Yeah, I love what you said there, Sophia. Actually, at Monash, I guess our saying is ancora impari, which means still learning. So it's very important to still be curious, to try things differently, to try new things, and to immerse yourself in all the opportunities, I guess, that you possibly can. So it's been really great to hear that advice from you, and I'm sure our viewers and listeners are definitely going to resonate with that. So thank you so much. We'd just like to thank you once again. I know I've said thank you a lot, but we really appreciate you joining our discussion today. I'm sure the students or our audience who have been listening to this podcast have gained an incredible insight into pharmacy education and research within the United States and have really resonated with the advice and guidance you've provided. We thank you for sharing your experiences and your knowledge with us today, and we're really excited to see what you go on to achieve. So thank you for your time, and we can't wait to hear what you're up to next.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Sophia.
Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you as well.
SOSA Pharma acknowledges the traditional custodians of the various lands throughout Australia on which we connect today and pays respect to elders past, present, and future.